McShane Bible Study, day 284, and we're starting in 1 Kings 14. And so we kind of get the overview of Jeroboam and Rehoboam's lives as kings of Israel and Judah. But there's a particular story here with Jeroboam. You see how it goes? You see this often in the lives of people. They want to go their own way. And we can all look at our own lives and see this in our own life. But, of course, these are big ways. Jeroboam had chosen to go his own way, but when things get tough, he turns back to God for answers, right? Mm-hmm. But he knows he's not followed the way of God. So he sends his wife in disguise to Ahijah, who's the one who'd originally, when he was just a regular guy, Ahijah had come to him and said, "Hey, the Lord's going to make you king. Follow his ways and he'll bless you," right? And he knows he hasn't followed those ways, but he is king, so he knows this Ahijah guy heard from God. So he tells his wife to disguise herself because their son is sick and they want him to be healed. And she goes to him and the Lord tells him he's blind by this stage, old in life. But the Lord tells him who's coming, and so he speaks to her and, you know, tells him there's a curse over this family. There's judgment on this family for not walking in God's ways, and that this son would die as soon as she came back home. But he was, in a way, blessed because he's the only one that got buried. The rest of them would have much worse fates, right? And then we flip over to Jeroboam. So you'll see with Kings and then Chronicles afterwards, it's going to flip back and forth a lot. Although Chronicles, I think, focuses more on Judah. But Kings particularly focuses on the kings of both, and it flips back and forth between both kingdoms from here on out, which can get a little confusing, keeping track of all the names and everything. I've always struggled with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, since those are very similar names. Although I
struggled with Ahijah and like Abijah.
Abijah. Yeah, a lot of very similar names.
Except for like one letter.
Right. So, and then we flip over to Rehoboam, and Rehoboam wasn't any better, right? He followed after other things. His mother was a what was she again? Where did it say? What?
Ammonite, I think.
Ammonite, okay. And so the people followed after other gods. He probably was, you know, his mother, because we know that's the story of Solomon, right? Solomon's many wives got him following after other gods. Probably not him himself thinking too much about these things, but he humored his wives. Mm-hmm. That can be a difficult thing not to do. And he fell down at that task. But who do you think Jeroboam knew better, his dad or his mom?
His mom.
His mom, right?
Because his dad had 1,000 other wives and probably thousands of their children.
Right. So, you know, he probably, I don't know how well he knew his dad, but so he... He's going to think that the gods of his mother are every bit as compelling as the god that had established his family on the throne, right? So he didn't walk in the ways of God. And you'll see this happen a lot throughout the history of Judah and to a lesser degree Israel, that when the king followed after the Lord, he established the culture so that the people followed after the Lord. Uh-huh. When the king followed after other gods, the people followed after other gods. And you see that a lot in Israel too. And so God needs strong leaders for there to be a holy people. Right? And he established this family to be that leader, and this man fell down on the job, right? Okay. And we're in Colossians 1. And again, focusing on verses I didn't focus on the last time we went through this. Verse 13 says, because he's given a mighty, like, overview of the gospel here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And we could make a big deal out of every verse. But trying to shorten it here. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. So we just had a long conversation about just the spiritual reality of what God created,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he's transferred us from that existence that our father Adam had us thrown into, which is a domain of darkness, a kingdom of darkness, with Satan as ruler. He's transferred us into his kingdom, mm-hmm. the kingdom that Jesus made possible for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have declared we have a new father. Our father is no longer Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Our father is God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is our way into this mm-hmm. life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he describes him, 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or authorities or rulers whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So even though Satan rebelled, apparently Satan wasn't even aware of Jesus yet, my guess is.
Mm-hmm.
He was aware of Adam. And he rebelled against this idea of mankind, which he knew as Adam at that point,
mm-hmm.
being sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he didn't even know. He didn't have God's infinite knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He's a far more knowledgeable than a man.
Mm-hmm.
Even us to this day. Although we probably have a lot of understanding he doesn't have. He easily walks into the throne room of God, right? I mean, he's been around way longer than us.
Mm-hmm.
But even he was born through Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more to God's plan than he even understands,
mm-hmm.
right? All things were created through him and for him. 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he holds all creation together. The cross is like this giant nexus of all time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like there's everything before the cross, and there's everything after. And
mm-hmm.
And everything is redeemed through Jesus on the cross, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we just talked about Adam and Eve and their choice. Jesus made the ultimate opposite choice.
Mm-hmm.
Complete obedience
mm-hmm.
instead of rebellion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he offers the way for us to follow him in obedience. 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. So we're a new man. Adam was the old man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new man. It's the body of Christ. He is the head. We are part of his body, right? He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So everyone's dead in Adam, right? But Jesus was reborn. He rose from the cross, right? So he has a new life that is over and above the life that Adam offers us.
Because
mm-hmm. Adam was thrown out of the eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is reborn into eternal life. And so he's firstborn, meaning we can be born into this life, right? We are born into this life. That in everything he might be preeminent. You know what that means?
Nope.
So he is above. He's first. Pre means before.
Mm-hmm.
Eminent means they call like kings and emperors, your eminence. It's like the greatest.
Okay.
So he's before and he's greatest. I guess this is how you break that word down. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are part of his body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fullness of God dwells in us. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. So he's reconciling all things, whether on earth or in heaven. He's reconciling all of creation back to God. Because all of creation, because he had put the creation into Adam's hands. When Adam handed it over to Satan,
mm-hmm.
he put the world, not in the third, you know, the first heaven, which is the world, not the third heaven. Mm-hmm. He's still over everything, right? But mm-hmm. the first world, the first heaven, which is the world,
mm-hmm.
the created world, the carnal world, Satan became ruler over, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is reconciling all that. The heavens, mm-hmm. the first and second heavens. We've talked a lot about it. I don't think you have much understanding of it yet, but the second heavens are a big part of this reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see in Revelation the thrones and authorities, Satan's power structure thrown out of the second heaven down into this first heaven, causing a lot of trouble here. But God's plan to raise up many sons into these positions, these thrones, these positions of authority and power in the mm-hmm. second heaven over this world. So going kind of a picture of back to God's plan with Adam,
mm-hmm.
where he has people with authority and power from above living on the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making peace by the blood of his cross. So Jesus mm-hmm. making peace over this world through his blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then skipping down to 26 to the end, the mystery hidden for ages. So he says, part of my job here, part of our job, is making known this mystery. The mystery of this reality, it's not known by most out there. Mm-hmm. It's not even particularly understood by most Christians. It's right here in the Bible, but the religion is this sneaky thing that teaches us it's all about what happens after we die. It's mm-hmm. not what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But religion has lulled people to sleep, to drunkenness. That, oh, I've got Jesus, so after I die, I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do nothing about being a part of God's plan for actually doing what he wants to do to redeem everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. So God is revealing this mystery to us.
Mm-hmm.
27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. This mm-hmm. great glory, this mystery is revealed to us. It's an incredible thing, which is Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
The hope of glory, right? Mm-hmm. That Christ could be in us to redeem us. And this is to the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That God would be glorified in his creation because we would choose, yes, God, we want your way. We will give you our lives so that you will do your plan through us. We'll be obedient like Christ was obedient, right? Mm-hmm. 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So he says, we will spend our time, what am I doing right now? I'm doing exactly this, right?
Mm-hmm.
We will spend our time teaching others and helping mm-hmm. others to grow up into the fullness of this reality,
mm-hmm.
that we can stand mature with Christ before God, right?
Mm-hmm.
29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. It's God's power that does it. We just give ourselves for his purpose. He's the one that supplies the power. So we don't have to worry that this, it's too great a thing for me or you or anyone else, right? It's mm-hmm. it's I can't do the, all that. Everything I just said, it's amazing. It's huge. I don't have the power. God has the power. He wants to do it through us. He's just looking for those willing to participate in it with him. Willing mm-hmm. to die to their old life and live for his purposes in our lives. See that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we're on Ezekiel 44, and it took an upturn in interest level, didn't it? A little more interesting than the last quite a few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now, he opens the gate, so we're not measuring the temple anymore.
Yay.
Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to me, 'This gate shall remain shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered by it.'" So this is the Lord's gate. He's come into this holy temple here, right? "Therefore, it shall remain shut." But we see someone is able to come into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, "Only the prince may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gate and shall go out by the same way." Now, we've talked a lot about this being the end times temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
This temple was never created as a physical temple.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the prince? Who is a prince?
Jesus.
Jesus is definitely one of them. Was Jesus mm-hmm. the son of God? Is a prince a son of a king?
Mm-hmm.
Was Jesus the son of the king?
Yes.
Was Jesus the firstborn among many brothers?
Yes.
Yes. So exactly what we were just talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see here that there's a place, a deep inner place, where only the sons of God may enter. He moves straight. The next verse, I didn't highlight it, but the glory of the Lord fills the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the table set, the king's table, mm-hmm. where only the princes, the sons of God, may sit.
Mm-hmm.
See that? I mean, I want to sit at that table,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to be as close to the Lord as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, and we're going to see, because we see levels established in this chapter, right? Levels of people serving the Lord. The next level, it's not really good that he talks about. He calls, you know, they're called Levites here. Those are the words that were established at that time. We know from the New Testament, there's the order of Melchizedek, right? There's a whole new priesthood. But he didn't have those words at that time. He was using the words that they knew. And he talks about, you know, I'm not going to read it all, but he talks about how the Levites have been serving other gods. They've been leading their people astray. They haven't been good stewards of their position in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this actually, my understanding is not fully in line with this. So I'm going to share what this chapter shares and what it shows me. Even though it's not in line with my bigger picture, because my bigger picture is God is going to judge and do away with the old system. This doesn't show I'm totally doing away. It still says he uses them, okay? But they're just at a low level, right? So let me read it, 13. "They shall not come near to me to serve me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things and the things that are most holy." So that kind of stinks if you call yourself a servant of God, but you don't get to come near, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to be that. What? That's a charlatan. But you know, there's a lot out there. "But they shall bear their shame and the abominations that they have committed. 14, yet I will appoint them to keep charge of the temple, to do all its service and all that is to be done in it." So he says, I have a position for them. It's just a lowly position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Verse 15. "But the Levitical priest, the sons of Zadok, who's kept the charge of my sanctuary when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord God." So he says here, there's always three tiers, and all you see many things. There's, you know, three tiers God shows in many different types and shadows. And so we have here some that are able to come and minister before the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we skip down to 19. And when they go out into the outer court to the people, they shall put off the garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. They shall put on other garments, lest they transmit holiness to the people with their garments. There's an entire different reality being entered into here. And then there's a, that you see, there's a going in between.
Mm-hmm.
The holy and holies, and then out to the people. And he said, that which is holy must be kept holy. Right? Mm-hmm. It's, the mixture will not be allowed anymore. That's what these others were punished for, these Levites, right?
Mm-hmm.
For allowing all this mixture. He says, I cannot have my people walking in mixture. Mm-hmm. If they're going to come before me and enter into my presence, they must be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walk out in the world and they're amongst those that are not holy, they must not mix that which is holy with that which is not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 23. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. So the role is to teach. What was Paul just talking about? Paul said, this is my job. I want to present you as clean to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Clean in Christ. He says, my job is out here raising people up to know the Lord, to be a part of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What is Ezekiel prophesying here? They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? 24, in a dispute they shall act as judges. They shall judge it according to my judgments. So he's talking about a people, a kingdom in the world where God has established judges with authority and power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Representing his kingdom in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts, and they shall keep my Sabbaths holy. So teaching the people the way of the Lord and how to worship the Lord, how to approach the Lord, how to live in the Lord's way, right?
Mm-hmm.
28, this shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. He says, these are people that have given up everything. They've died to their own rights in this world, to their own ways and ideas in this world, to mm-hmm. their own lives. And they've chosen me and my life. And mm-hmm. I am their inheritance. I am their possession, right? 30, and the first of all, the first fruits of all kind and every offering of all kinds from all your offerings. What did Paul just call Jesus? He's the first fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see this in many things. He fulfilled the holiday of first fruits, right? He's mm-hmm. the first fruits. He's the firstborn of many sons. He is our inheritance, right?
Mm-hmm.
From all your offerings shall belong to the priests. The first fruits belong to the priests. You shall also give to the priests the first of your dough, that a blessing may rest on your house. He says, there's a blessing of others who give. Okay, that's awesome the way those two chapters went together, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're on Psalm 35. I didn't have a lot to say to begin with. It's also gotten loud around here. David is asking the Lord to contend for him, and he's pretty upset at somebody. He really wants the Lord to put him in their place, right? And then he prays blessing over those. It was 27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servants. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. I don't have anything about that. Do you?
No.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.